walking righteously requires total obedience to God's directives. Amen?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. We're hearing the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's Father's Day message this evening, where Pastor Grant takes three principles demonstrated in the life of Noah that influenced Noah's family to the extent that Noah and his entire family found refuge in the Ark of God's deliverance and escaped the fate of their wicked society. These principles, if faithfully engaged by fathers in our own day, can show our children how to swim against the tide and escape God's impending judgment on our violent and sinful world. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant concludes his message, Showing Your Children How to Live.
So what have we said so far? Walking righteously requires standing alone for God. Secondly, walking righteously results in God lavishing us with his undeserved favor. But here's the third thing. Walking righteously requires total obedience to God's directives. Amen? So in chapter 6, verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. I'm in Genesis 6. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself, he says to Noah, an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300. And on, verse 16, you shall make a window. And every detail God gives him. And on, verse 20, of the birds after their kind. And God gives him detailed instructions. And at verse 22, it says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. What is that saying? The Bible is telling us that although Noah was a big grown man, he made a decision that whatever God said he would do, he made a decision he would follow God's directives. And might God help you, whether you're a teenager, a preteen, or a big grown man or grown woman. Part of the problem with us grown men is that we're still thinking we can do it our way. I can follow my own will. Well, go ahead and help yourself. Go ahead, do it your way. But I thank God that there are some who have made a decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And sir, father, daddy, young men, ladies, no matter who you are, if you're serious about things, about seeing God's favor on your life, it's time to stop where you are and make a decision that you're going to obey God's directives, not just some. Oh, that's why we feel good about ourselves. Oh, I'm doing some of what God said. God didn't. Did you see anything in this text where Noah just did some? You realize if Noah didn't fall at all, that boat probably wouldn't sail. Amen? Or they'd run out of food too early. Or whatever, whatever. Thank God for men and women who are willing to obey God's directives. We do not have a better idea than God. We're living in an age where some believe you can live righteously without total obedience. Even preachers, you turn on the television and you listen and you watch some of the stuff, even preachers make it seem like we can, like the Christian life is a cafeteria buffet line. You know what I'm talking about? You ever gone to the cafeteria? What you do? You take what you want. I pick what I want, and I leave what I want. That works in the cafeteria. They don't work in the kingdom of God. Amen? In God's plan. It's a, what is the name of the other type of menu where you got to eat? What? Not a buffet, all right? God has already set the menu. I don't remember all these names. It's already determined. It's already prefixed. Thank you. He has already figured out what it's... If you're going to walk with Jesus, you eat everything. You do everything on the menu, amen? Whether you like it or not. And sometimes way down the road, you realize why God told you to do what he told you to do. Amen. Sometimes, do you know, young people, sometimes you're not, why did God tell me to do this? You know, sometimes you don't figure it out until you're bald-headed like me. Sometimes it takes a minute or two. But what we do know is that if God tells you to do it, we do what he says. Noah was determined to obey God. First, we must not only show our children how to walk righteously in the midst of wickedness, but second, put this on your notes, we must show our children, remember now, Dad, we're showing our children that walking closely with God requires a committed faith. Most of us who watch the Olympics realize that although Jamaican athletes are famous for sprint races, once a race goes beyond 400 meters, you'll rarely see a Jamaican athlete in the race. Have you ever noticed that? Now, I'm not sure if it's because Jamaica doesn't have enough space. You know, we're a small country, so probably there's not enough space to train these long-distance runners. But if you're going to run the marathon, you've got to be committed to endure for a long time. You see, the sprinter can just take off like a dash. In 10 seconds, it's over. Can you imagine that? 10 seconds, it's all done. I trained so hard, but just for 10 seconds. Those marathon, but I tell you, they got to endure on and on and on. The Christian life, put this in your notes. The Christian life is a marathon, not a sprint. We must prepare to endure hardship and challenges for a long time as we walk with God. Too many Christians run hot and cold. When things are good, are going well, they're on top of the mountain. You can hear them shouting hallelujah. You can see them. And they come through the church doors with a smile on their face. Good morning, Brother Grant. But once problems arise, they immediately sink in the valley of despair. You mightn't see them at all. In fact, Brother Grant may have to call them to find out. So what's going on? Because they're now in the valley of despair. But my friend, it's time to stop this roller coaster faith. For the Christian life is a marathon, and we have to run with endurance. There will be days we're running on the mountain, and there will be days we're running in the valley, but let's never forget that the God on the mountain, amen, is still God in the valley. Perhaps somebody needs to hear that this morning. Perhaps right now you're in the valley and you're feeling like God has forgotten you. Well, I want you to know that God never ever forgets his own, and the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. Amen. We can depend on him. Hold on to our God. Amen. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of only 8 people that were saved, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction and so on. Jump to verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Underline that in your Bible. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, but he also knows how to reserve the ungodly for punishment. Make no mistake, if you don't come to Jesus, and this morning we're going to give you an opportunity to come to Jesus. If you refuse to come to Jesus, trust me, there are consequences for not coming to Jesus. This text makes it clear. Listen, Noah, for almost 100 years, Noah kept preaching. For some of us, 100 years and nobody responding? You're teaching a Sunday school class, and after a year, nobody seems, 2 years, and the next thing you know, you're quitting? Listen, don't tell me you're faithfully, don't tell me you understand that you're in a marathon, not a sprint. Oh, this is good, not just for parenting, you know. Because sometimes in the Christian life, we want to see results today. And if we don't see results today, we want to quit. No. You better hang in there. For almost 100 years, Noah is preaching and nobody is responding. But he kept at it. Amen. And guess what? The Bible says only 8 people responded. And when you go back to Genesis chapter 7, verse 13, you see what God had already promised in chapter 6. But in chapter 7, verse 13, on the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's sons, wife, and the 3 of his sons with them entered into the ark. Listen, he may have been saddened that so many rejected God's warning, but I can hardly imagine how joyful he was that his 3 sons and their wives obeyed God. Don't miss this. Noah's 3 sons and their wives were only in the ark because they had obeyed God. Nobody put them there. They had obeyed God and they had followed. So I want to make this point that some of you may argue it, but add this to you know, your notes. When a dad walks closely with God, it will significantly impact his family. Dads, take this seriously. When you make a determination to closely walk with God, it will significantly impact your family. So I want to challenge the dads here today. Some of you may not recognize the impact you can have on your children for God. But if you make a decision to walk closer with God, it will significantly impact your family. Listen, the only people who were impacted were Noah's family. And just, you know, we just started this book of Genesis and we were talking about Noah. And, you know, I decided for the very first time, I never thought of it before, to research how many people were on earth at the flood. I wish I had time to get a survey and find what you think. Because I think many of us don't realize it was a lot of people on the earth at that time. You see, because people were living so long, and men were having babies in 200 years old, they're still having babies. 3 I see that brother over there laughing. I know a lot of men would like to be able to continue. Well, you're not even living 200 years old. So here's what experts estimate. The lowest estimate, are you ready? The lowest estimate I found as to how many people were likely on earth was 750 million people. And the highest estimate was 7 billion people. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Doesn't that blow your mind? We have this mindset that, oh, it was just a few people. The experts, having studied it, are telling us there were hundreds of millions of people. So anybody who says, oh, there are too many people on earth today for God to judge them, I just want you to know and God has already done this. And so anyone who says, I can do what I want and get away with it, I want you to know that God is serious and he always keeps his promises, including his promises for judgment on those who reject him. And we'll see that in a moment. When a dad walks closely with God, it will significantly impact his family. You know, my parents, when you get time, do you go home and read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9 again? I'll skip that for this morning, but you read it when you go home. You know, my parents traveled with us a lot. You know, we've tried to follow that. But listen, I have discovered that when dad and mom, but primarily dad, too often dads figure it's okay because mom is with the children. But I am suggesting to you that when dad is significantly engaged with his children, when a dad walks closely with God and is significantly involved with his children, it will make a significant impact on their life. For sake of time, I'm going to move on. So what have we said so far? First, we must show our children to walk righteously in the midst of wickedness. Second, we must show our children that walking closely with God requires a committed faith. But third, we must show our children that walking with God requires obeying God's directives. In chapter 6 of Genesis, God had given Noah specific directions on how to build the ark. And unless Noah followed them explicitly, they would all perish. Today, God is not asking us to build an ark, but he's asking us as fathers, it's Father's Day, he is asking us as parents, particularly fathers, to build character in our children. Dad, it's time to stop sitting watching the game. It's time to become more involved in raising your children, not telling them. Please don't miss that very first point we made. We love to tell our children, but it's time for us to start showing our children how to live, because we are modeling it. Children rebel from a dad who keeps telling them what to do, and they are not doing it themselves. Model it. Show it. Live it. God is asking us to build character in our children by showing them. Let them see you obeying God's holy word. Teach them God's holy word and live it out. Amen. I love verse 22, though, of Genesis 6. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him to do. As Noah built the ark, he followed all God's commandment. Sadly, we believe we got better ideas than what God says. But Noah did only what God commanded and all of what God commanded. May that be what's true of us. The first step in following God's directives is to come into a personal relationship with Christ. It's very evident that despite Noah's warning, the people in his day refused to believe God's judgment was coming. And so they refused to obey God's directives. You know, a lot of folks are like that too. They don't believe anything is happening. For decades, Noah warned that God was going to send a flood that would destroy everyone. But people couldn't imagine how that could happen. I mean, come on, if you were there, could you imagine it? Other than the fact that God said it, who could ever believe? Some believe it hadn't even rained before. So if it hadn't rained, how could it keep raining and raining and raining? Of course, you'll find out, if you study the passage carefully, you find out it's not just that rain fell, but the waters below were released to it. The waters, so there was water coming from everywhere. It wasn't just rain that caused the flood. But the day of God's people played around. Nothing is going to happen, but the day of God's judgment finally came. Genesis chapter 7. Verse 13. Genesis 7:13. On the very same day, Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and his wife, into the ark. They entered, and every beast after his kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, every bird of every kind, every bird of every sort, and they went into the ark to Noah two by two. This was a God moment, eh? Oh, if we had time, we'd get into some of this, that how God was in control, and God always in control. Can you imagine the animals are going into the ark on their own initiative? Amen? What a mighty God we serve. Don't ever think that our God has lost control. These animals went in by themselves. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And it's one of the most sad verses in the entire Bible, the next few words. They went in as God had commanded, and the Lord shut him in. What is that telling us? God shut the door. Once Noah and his family and all the animals entered the ark, the Lord shut them in. And once God shut them in, no one else could be saved. Once God shut them in, nobody could reopen the door. I imagine that when it started to rain, people may have wondered. You ever use your sanctified imagination as to what this must have been like? It started to drizzle, and people say, "Wonder, whoa, what's that? What's that falling? Never seen this before." And then it started pouring, and you can imagine people running and knocking, "Let me in! Let me in!" But it was too late. God had shut the door, and there was no hope for salvation. My friend, one of these days, Jesus is coming again. And if you're not saved, listen, if you're not saved when Jesus comes, there will be no opportunity to get saved. And so today, the Bible tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Some of you are waiting for some other thing to happen. Listen, God has done everything he needs for your salvation. You have heard the word of God. You have been challenged to come to Jesus. Some of you have come to Jesus. You have said a prayer, but you're not. Your lifestyle doesn't suggest that you belong to Jesus. And I always like to challenge individuals who are not living like they're saved to make sure you're really saved. Because just because you said in a Sunday school class, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart," that on its own means nothing. Was a real work of grace done because you were receiving Christ, is life-changing a work in your heart. This morning, as we bring this service to a close, I'm going to ask everyone, you may not be sure that you're saved. I'm going to ask you this morning, don't run the risk. Don't risk what happened in Noah's days. Everybody except those eight perished. Come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus right now. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. Now is the time. Will you say yes to Jesus right now?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.